25 years and my life is still trying to get up that great big hill of hope for a destination. I realized quickly when I knew I should that the world was made up of this brotherhood of man, for whatever that means. Into a crisis times when I'm lying in bed just to get it all out what's in my head. And I am feeling a little peculiar. And so I wake in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath and I get real high and I scream from the top of my lungs.
Hello and welcome to Generation Goat number 38. I'm John Martin. With me, E. Christopher Clark. Hey, man.
Hey.
Happy Dia de los Muertos.
You know, I feel a little bit like death this morning because there are no Reese's peanut butter cups in my house.
Oh, that's my favorite thing.
Halloween was postponed. Well, not Halloween, but trick-or-treating was postponed because of the hurricane to Sunday here in my hometown. Yeah, so no candy in the house, and I saw a picture from the Reese's Facebook page taunting me, asking me how many Reese's were in my house.
Dude, what you got to do is you got to go to the grocery store because, like, up to Halloween, that's for the kids. The trick or treating, that's the kids' candy day. Our candy day today. Why? Because everything's like 40% off.
Yes.
So
But I wonder if the local supermarket will have decided to hold off on that because things are postponed till Sunday. I don't know. We'll find out. Hopefully they still have some candy because we don't have any in the house yet.
But just go to the town next door, you know, and hook yourself up.
True that.
We had trick-or-treaters last night. We were not postponed.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of them, actually. But what's really surprising to me is, like, how many of them show up, like, in a minivan. Like, a minivan will roll up in front of your house and, like, 10 kids will get out and you're like...
And how many of them are either preteens or, like, teenagers?
No, like, a lot of them were little kids.
Okay, all right.
But, I mean, okay, fair enough. You know, maybe you don't want to let them go out by themselves. But if I had said to my dad when I was, like, 8 years old, I want you to drive me, he'd be like, no, if you want candy, you have to walk.
Right, yeah. And this happens because of where I live, which is a big townhouse development. People will drive, but then park and basically let the kids just roam because it's a safe area. But my parents would never have driven me around to various
locations. Weird, man. Like, it's really weird. Yeah, I mean, okay, I lived in a condo too for a while. And, like,
yeah.
The trick-or-treating was insane.
Right.
Know, but
because it's a it's well-lit and it's a safe environment to just let the kids roam around.
It actually got to a point, though, where, like, so many kids from Chelmsford would show up that the police would, like, put up blockades effectively and they would check your ID to make sure you lived there. And if you wanted a guest on Halloween, you had to go and, like, put their name on a list.
Oh geez,
it was insane. But to be fair, like, I think 1 year we counted and we got, like, over 600 kids. Yeah. I mean what the hell do you do with that, you know?
I don't know. I remember the first time we in 2004, our first year here, we did not anticipate how many kids would come, and it started off very slow. So we had the big bucket of candy. But they and it was so slow at first. We were handing out multiple candy bars to everyone.
Freaking
and then, boom.
Yeah.
So many that we had to turn out the lights and hide upstairs.
Well, the worst part about that, too, is, like, if you run out of candy and, like, other kids are coming, like, how do you work that? Turning out the light and pretending you're not home. Like, we're not here. We just went out.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, we didn't run out of candy. Thankfully, we actually have a huge surplus of candy. So, but no Reese's, which is, I mean, like, of Halloween candies, because sometimes, like, your all time favorite candy might not be your favorite Halloween candy. Like, is that, does it win on both counts?
I don't know. It is my all time favorite candy. I think I like the little Kit Kats probably most when it comes to Halloween and Easter.
Small Twix as well, way better than the big Twix because they've got more, like, wafer, so they're crunchy and
agreed.
Scintillating. when was the last time you went trick or treating? Like, how old were you?
Oh my gosh,
I went high school. I think I went my freshman year of high school. I was too old, but I went.
I forget which year it was, but I do remember what happened was that I went to a friend's house on...
Does this end with a really bad game of 7 minutes in heaven? Is that what's going to happen in this story?
No. Okay. No, just, but I, I went to a friend's house either that week or that day, and I came home late. So I was riding a bike. I was old enough to ride a bike to a friend's house, came home, got grounded on Halloween. And that was, I think I had intended to go that year, but I didn't have a costume, so I don't know exactly what was going to happen. It was probably like close to when the comic book store opened, around then. So I hadn't quite gotten my license.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I forget exactly when it was, but I do recall that the last year I was thinking of going, I got grounded and didn't go.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's rough. That's really rough. Yeah, no, I went, I think my freshman year of high school with like Garen and some other people. Mm-hmm. And, I remember Garen's mom was like super paranoid. She thought that all the candy was poisoned. Like there would be a normal little Kit Kat and like the wrapper would be folded because it was in a goddamn pillowcase or something.
Right.
And yeah, like she'd be like, no, you gotta throw that out. Someone's messed with it. I'm like, it's been in a bag. But I remember we threw out so much candy and it was such a bummer. And it's true. I was one of those kids with the pillowcase. Like most kids are like, I'll bring a little bucket. Like those ones from Burger King, you know,
right. Yeah.
Or McDonald's, wherever it was. But no, I always had the pillowcase. I was like, give me all the candy.
Yeah. Give it all to me. Yeah. I think, I don't know what we usually end up with for the girls. Probably the buckets, maybe something slightly bigger than those buckets, but they don't really, there's only a certain number of things they actually eat. And the rest
of it, but you're not thinking strategically. The rest is for you.
I am thinking strategically. So I'm hoping that they're going to get the things that they're going to pick the things that I want, especially when there's picking involved and it could be a Kit Kat or it could be a Mounds.
I think like, you really want the Kit Kat.
Yeah.
I do? Yeah, definitely. But the other one's pretty. Nah, it's a Kit Kat. Yeah. The other one's deadly poison. Take the Kit Kat. Daddy will love you more if you take the Kit Kat.
Right. Way to be with your kids, right? Yeah.
I think the trick is, you know, because it's like the one day a year that child labor is really allowed. So what you get hope for is that like, the towns around yours have Halloween trick-or-treating like, different days. So you're like, nope, it's Monday. We are going over to this town.
Right.
Hit the neighborhoods.
Yep.
I'm back. You're set for candy till like Easter.
Yeah. And that's pretty much the truth.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're not going to eat it all. Yeah. Or better yet, get them home, tell them eat as much as you want. You can have as much as you want today. They get a tummy ache. And then you can be like, oh, we got bad candy.
Yeah.
I'll take it away. I'm sorry. And then it's all yours.
I like the way you think.
I'm going to be a great dad.
You are.
World's best dad. That's me.
So aside from candy or lack thereof, what's been going on?
I don't know, man. We had that hurricane, which was a bit, you know, it was really windy and a bunch of trees fell down. A tree fell on Julie's house, which is crazy.
Oh, boy.
Not this one, but her mom's. Yeah. But it was a huge oak tree. And thankfully, a pine tree broke its fall. So, like, it kind of just rested on the house and broke, like, the window a little bit.
Okay. That's good.
But, yeah, it was a really big tree. So, that was a bit crazy. And, I, you know, my mom is in Manhattan right now doing, like, Red Cross-related stuff. So she called, actually, a little while ago. And apparently, like, yeah, it's just nuts. Like, they have power where she is.
Right.
Not where she started. So she had to move around a bit.
That's awesome. Yeah, seeing the pictures of New York, and what's interesting to me was the like seeing the real pictures and then seeing the pictures that during the storm people were passing off as real, which were from
President.
Like the day after tomorrow or like these really ridiculous disaster movies. And the fact that we're getting even close to that, to the Hollywood reality.
But we're not. Because we have a black president and New York didn't sink into the sea. So
this is true. But I was just going to say, I mean, like a lot of, like the day after tomorrow, I've never seen it, but I get the feeling that it was about global warming and about a catastrophe that had something to do with global warming.
Sure.
And here, like five, six, I can't add,
like 100 days later.
No, a few days before the election, we're going to decide on something very important. And there are still people out there who don't believe in climate change, don't believe that this stuff
apparently
has happened.
A significant majority on the conservative side, which is, I don't get it. I really don't. Like, I mean, you look at all the droughts we had this year, which were the worst ever. I mean, there were places in the Midwest, in Kansas and Nebraska, that had over three consecutive weeks of days where the temperature was above 110 degrees. Mm. It has never happened before. And you look at, like, you know, the hottest temperature on record. You look at the records, and for the last 20 years, it's going up every year. Like, this doesn't take rocket science to figure out.
No, it just takes a brain. And I don't know. I try to be as fair to them, you know, as I possibly can.
Yeah, I pretend that they just haven't been shown the right facts, that they're actually just really highly deliberative people and they just haven't had the right information presented to them. But
I try so hard to stay out of it because I'm very passionate about things. I really believe there is one clear choice here. But I try to, especially where I'm at, I teach and I work at the salt mine where, you know, things are contentious. When people are coming in to buy their salt, you don't want to push the wrong buttons.
You don't want to give the wrong guy kosher salt because we know how those people feel about that.
But, well, this is the really interesting part. So some guys came in to buy some of that kosher salt.
Yeah.
And they... we're talking politics, and I was standing off to the side, and
you were like, save it for Florida.
I was trying not to get involved, and they were basically, at least one of them was coming down hard on Obama. It was pretty much just talking about everything that Obama did that was wrong, everything that he continues to do that is wrong, how he is bad in all of these ways. And then he turns to me and I'm trying to stay out of it. And he says, so who are you voting for? And I, you know, it's a contentious subject.
Ralph Nader, obviously.
And you don't want to upset anybody. And it's not even really work appropriate. Right. So I'm just like, you know what? I'm not going to say anything. And his response was, you know what? That's exactly what an Obama person who's going to vote for Obama would say when he's ashamed of the decision he's going to make, and then just went off on another tangent.
I can't stand those people. It's like, no, I don't want to argue with someone who's clearly not rational. Yeah. Like, if you have that fixed an opinion and that fiery an opinion, my saying I'm going to do the thing that you're aiming is not going to help. And this is my job, not my bar.
So
not that the salt mine doesn't have a great bar.
I tried to stay out of it, and I continue to try to stay out of it. And I've got friends and family on Facebook who are on both sides, and so I try to stay out of it there. As much as I know, I should probably be trying to educate those people who are on the fence.
I know, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I mean, I don't think that you have to be an idiot to say, well, look, just look at what people's aspirations are. You know, look at the things they try to achieve, whether you like the president or not. Okay, fine. But I mean, I don't have a sense of like, wow, he keeps changing his story. You know, he keeps like, wow, who is he now? You know,
right.
Romney was our governor in Massachusetts and he was, you know, pro-choice and he was for healthcare and he was for a variety of gun restrictions and.
Right.
Okay, I guess he got McCainified because McCain was a pretty decent guy overall.
Exactly, right.
And, you know, now he's a Tea Party guy. Yeah. So, you know, for me, it's not a hard choice. Even if I disagree with them vehemently, I want someone who's consistent and who's educated, you know, because I feel safer with that. That's my personal preference, you know, but... I don't know, the people I can't understand, like, especially now, like it's a week today, you know, for the election. You get these people who are like, well, I don't know, I'm undecided. You're like, how the fuck are you undecided?
Yeah, it's
like, these people have been campaigning for 2 years.
Yeah.
Romney's been campaigning for 7 years.
Yeah, right. It's like, I don't know how you're undecided at this point.
I haven't got all the facts. Well, I don't really know. Apart from getting stool samples, what are you...
It's a very clear, you know, I don't think it could be any clearer.
Even if you're for the other guy, please just make up your mind or stay home, you know, like,
Yeah.
Good God.
Well, and that's the other part of it. And this is what, gosh, I could really get into trouble here because I don't know who listens to the podcast and who doesn't. And I'm sure I'll post it to Facebook.
I'm sure people that we're good enough to be friends with are reasonable people that we can agree to disagree with.
Well, so what I was going to say is that I have friends who, during the primary season, were very much in favor of one candidate or another.
Did these people support either Bachman or Kane? Because seriously, dude, shit can them now.
No, they did not. I forget who it was that they supported, but it was not Romney. And I remember them being kind of really anti-Romney during the primary season. And yet, here they are.
Yep.
Right behind this dude who they hated.
Because it's a difference between their team winning or not.
Yeah, and I mean, because he's the best that they can do. And I want to say to them, like, if he's not who you want, don't vote for him just because he's the best that you can do. Just don't vote.
Yeah.
Wait 4 years till you get a candidate that you want.
Well, interestingly enough, Nevada is apparently the only state in the country that does this. It actually lets you cast a vote for none of these.
Mm.
And I guess when Reed was running against Sharon Angles in the last election, like 3% of Nevadans posted none of these.
Wow.
Which is, you know, it's interesting. I guess it's a way of voters expressing their displeasure and having it recorded.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that it actually advances democracy, but it's interesting. I don't know. The problem with politics, you know, especially the two-party system, is that it's a team sport. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be honest. If, I don't know, in a bizarro earth, George Steinbrenner had been the Democratic, you know, candidate for president against, you know, George W. Bush the second time.
Right.
Well, it sucks, but I got to vote for Steinbrenner.
Because yeah.
I like this team better than that team.
It's very
unfortunate that government is like that.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of Democrats that I really don't like, even though I generally identify with Democratic policies.
Yeah.
And that it's frustrating to have to take all of it together, but...
Yeah, no, it is.
I think it's pretty clear how this one's going to turn out. I don't think it's surprising that the president's going to win again.
Yeah,
I said it.
I don't know. I mean, Because...
I don't know. I read the analysis on 538, which is generally pretty good and has been very accurate in the past. And, you know, reading just today, there's a great breakdown of state-by-state polls. And, you know, yeah, they say, okay, there's like a 79% chance of Obama winning, you know, but it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I feel good about it.
I just can't imagine Romney winning. I don't want to imagine it. It scares me.
You know, it's not even that I think he's a bad person. And I understand that when people run a political campaign, they have to make certain rhetorical concessions. I understand that. What scares me about that is that he's not anti-Tea Party. You know, he doesn't stand up to those guys. He doesn't say, that's not our party. You know, in fact, he's in bed with a lot of them. And that really kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like George W. Bush in a vacuum, not terrible because he can't do a lot. But, you know, start adding like Wolfowitz and, you know, Rumsfeld and all those other people into that mix and holy crap, you know.
Yeah.
And it's kind of how I feel with the Romney thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You know, people out there in Goatland, you know, I'm sure you have similar opinions in the opposite vein. And that's cool, you know, because I think we can agree that all that really matters, I don't know. We keep the Caribbean down or something.
So
my last thing on the election there. Like I said, like political campaigning is like the ads are insane. Like I read in Las Vegas one day this year, there were something like 73,000 ads in one day.
Wow.
In Las Vegas media. And the commercial thing is really amazing. Like I was reading that from the time they conceive of an idea to the time it can air, in some states like Ohio, it's 4 hours. I mean, that's nuts, right? But it just shows you how much money there is. And so, you know, Colin Powell endorsed Obama recently. And, you know, he there's an ad now with Colin Powell saying, I support him for these reasons. And the Romney people, I guess a couple of days ago, fired back with an ad in Ohio with a clip of Hugo Chavez, the Venezuelan, saying, well, if I were American, I would vote for Obama. And they're like, so do you want to vote for a guy who, you know, you know what? Hitler was a vegetarian painter before he was Hitler, the dictator. So does that mean that all vegetarians are Nazis? Is that the kind of logic we're using in politics?
Just vegetarian painters.
Just vegetarian painters. It's a special subset. Particularly landscape painters. Those are the worst.
Hear about
seeing a death squad at some point in World War II. Some dude was painting a landscape of it.
Did you hear about the little girl who was moved to tears because of all of the campaign ads?
Yeah.
Oh, kid. it's like the little kid that we were who would be moved to tears by the fact that there'll be another three Star Wars movies.
Yeah. I know. This is why are we even talking about the election? Because clearly it doesn't matter as much as Lucasfilm being bought by Disney. Crazy, right? Like I read it, and my first instinct was, "Oh, this is a hoax."
I thought the same thing. I was on my break at the salt mine and I came back and I'm checking my Flipboard and I seriously thought I had accidentally added the Onion.
I was like, oh, come on. This is some idiot journalist picking a story up from the Onion.
It's just like, and then, you know, the more I read, because by the time I was reading it, it was actually like the second or third article. It was Slash Film talking about all of the implications.
I actually had to see the video clip where he sat down with Kathleen Kennedy and, you know, and like actually explained what he was doing. And I was like, okay, I guess this is actually happening unless this is CGI.
Yeah. It's very, very weird. And I mean, I joke about, you know, the fact that we as kids would be horror struck by it, but I don't know.
No, dude, if you had told me when I was 10 that all nine movies were going to happen, I would have been over the moon.
Right. And so here's the thing is, I mean, from what we know, he's going to be involved as a creative consultant, but he's not going to direct and he's not going to write.
Like being an executive producer.
Yeah. Like, so the ideas came from him, right? But.
Well. Okay, so somebody at Lucasfilm today said, you know, this is an original story and it's not going to relate to previous material, at least directly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what I take from that is that this will be set either long, you know, a ways after and it won't focus on the Skywalker people or it'll, you know, in a different part of the universe or whatever. But
yeah,
I don't know. I feel pretty good about it. The fact that he's letting other people write it, I think actually makes all the difference because.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think back to those horrible prequels, where do they really fall down? It's not the woodenness of the acting or the stupidity of Jar Jar Binks. It's the scripts. They're these terrible, clunky, like full of babble, you know, just like Trade Federation nonsense. And, you know,
it's all about politics and
they're not great. You know, they're pretty. They're great looking movies a lot of the time, but they're terrible movies.
Yeah.
So I don't know, just the fact that there might be other people with their hands on these scripts. I mean, can you imagine Joss Whedon writing a Star Wars movie?
Yeah.
He's under contract and, you know, holy crap.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is they had a list of all the directors Slash Film did that they might want to see do it. What Whedon was, of course, at the top.
I mean, just get Whedon in, make it a Han Solo centric story, get Nathan Fillion to play him, done. That's it. Best movie ever.
Do you think he could, do you think they could bring back any of the original actors in older roles? I mean, what about, what about Harrison Ford as an older
Mark
Han Solo?
Is he these days?
Yeah.
I don't know. Harrison Ford is very weird. Because like when you read interviews with Harrison, he's always very like, well, I was trying to distance myself from the movies and I'm not really into sci-fi.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, that Cowboys versus Aliens had, that was his first sci-fi role since the 80s. Yeah. So, you know, but you never know, right? I mean, I don't know. I actually feel kind of positive about it because I think, you know, the Star Wars universe has so many great novels and comics and other series, and it's just, you really want to see someone make something great out of it. So,
I'm hopeful too. Do you think there's anything that they could? I think I know the answer to this, but do you think there's anything they could do with these new three movies that would somehow redeem the I now, I guess, not the the prequel trilogy. Yeah.
They could record over them. that would be okay.
Yeah.
No. Those are just awful. But, you know, it's like when there's a band you really like,
mm-hmm.
and you got into them on, like, their third album.
Yeah.
And you discover that their first album was ungodly awful in, like, a completely right. different musical style, and then you're just kind of left with, like, well, at least they turned that around. So,
yeah.
I think you could certainly take the taste out of people's mouths of the prequels, but I'm not, I don't know. The weird thing to me, and again, this is like the politics thing, is that I have met people who are like, no, the prequels are better.
Mm. You're like, I would never say the prequels
are... What home did you escape from?
Yeah. I would never say the prequels are better, but I do, you know, we've had this conversation before. I do like them for what they are. I would like to see these new ones go in a different direction, though, and it would be fun to see what someone else will do.
I just remember how I felt, like, walking into the cinema to see The mm-hmm. Phantom Menace on opening day.
Yeah.
And how I felt walking out. You know, it was just kind of like, wait, that was the whole movie? What the hell just happened?
Yeah.
Did a 7-year-old just win the day in a starfighter against some galactic bankers? What was that? I don't know, man. We'll see.
You're optimistic about that.
Can you imagine? Like, I was looking at that list of directors too, and like, Joss Whedon would be my pick because I think mm-hmm. he's the right guy. But one of the other people on the list was kind of like, oh, can you imagine Peter Jackson doing these?
Mm.
Like, wow. I can't think of another guy who knows epic like that.
No, I can't. It would be a major coup to get, but if they're trying to go for 2015, I mean, is he going to go leap right from the post-production on The Hobbit into... Yeah.
It's a long shot.
It's
but
a
then again, Whedon's got the TV show coming up and the next Avengers movie. And
Yeah, it seems that any of these, like, fantasy picks are probably out.
A lot of people have, like, said J.J. Abrams as well, which, you know, theoretically, sure.
Yeah, I mean, he did great for Star Trek, right?
I think they should make Spielberg do it. That's if we can't get those other people, I feel
that that would be interesting. It would certainly, you know, but would he listen too much to Lucas?
I don't know.
Hmm. You know, that'd be because they see their buddies, right? I mean, that's the thing.
I will say that, like, on the theme of redemption, like, it does actually kind of change my feelings about George Lucas. Like, you can really look at him and say, well, here's the guy who did terrible, terrible things to my childhood repeatedly, but at least his heart is in the right place in terms of the franchise, right?
Yeah.
He wants it to be in a good home, and he wants it to be good for people. And,
right.
you know, I'm sure that it's hard to walk away from what is effectively the first line in your obituary, you know?
Right.
And that does take some guts. And I saw today that he, you know, is going to give most of the money to educational charities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there was a sliver of good in him after all, and he's actually, you know, our Anakin Skywalker, as it were. So
yeah,
you
know. Yeah. No, I think it's a good move. It's a classy move. I'm excited to see what happens next.
I think it's weird too that, like, so many people are down on it just because it's Disney. Like, look what Disney did for Marvel. I mean,
yeah, you know, absolutely. I mean, we have the Avengers as a result of that, and we've got now, you know, a slate of 3, 4, 5 movies coming up that are, you know, probably, I mean, they're possible thanks to what Paramount and Universal and the other companies did with the properties before Disney came in. But yeah. And it's not like Disney's unfamiliar with the material. I mean, Star Tours and that sort of thing has been theme park staples for decades.
So now we're going to get Captain EO into Star Wars and,
sort of. But you can see, like, I mean, you can see why he would go to Disney versus Fox. I mean, not to get down on, I mean, because Disney has the theme park stuff, right? I mean, you could have
he did mention that actually specifically as one of the reasons.
Yeah, you could have a Star Wars park right next to the Avatar park, where which would be weird. So you're positive about that, but we were talking just before we started. There's some other news in terms of I guess Fox and their X-Men series mm-hmm. that you were less sure about, because Bryan Singer is coming, the dude who had directed X-Men First Class.
But also Matthew Vaughn, I think.
Is out, and they brought Bryan Singer, who directed X-Men and X2, in to direct.
The first X-Men movie, you know, pretty good, right?
Yeah.
You know, reasonably good casting. It's not such a bad story. The second one, it's okay. You know, it's pretty good, but it starts to go down a path. And that, okay, he didn't have anything to do with the third one in terms of creating it, but
right.
The third one is so bad. And he did also make an incredibly boring Superman movie. So, I don't know. I liked First Class. I liked it because it felt fresh, and it worked really well for me. I mean, we went to see it. I think we both thought it was really cool. And
right.
I don't want to see that mucked up. And also, looking at the last time they did the Days of Future Past story in X3 and the groundwork they laid for that in X2.
Yeah. Well, that's more the Dark Phoenix story that they laid the ground for there. But yeah, I mean, there were Sentinels and stuff that came in, that were in X3 and in the Danger Room sequence.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he had any involvement in X3. He did have producer involvement in First Class. So,
well, yeah. Okay. Fair.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he did make a boring Superman movie, but I think it's very easy to make a boring Superman movie.
Superman,
because,
he's boring. Just boring. I'm sorry, comic fans, but
yeah, Superman is.
He needs to get it together. Apart from Batman, you got nothing.
Yeah, no, they really don't. And that's why I don't read DC Comics.
I really
don't. They've got great comics in their Vertigo line. They always have.
Yes.
But,
nope. That's very true. But in terms of like the mainstream books.
Yeah, they just have never had the interesting characters because their characters aren't human. They even their human characters are not human. You know, Green Lantern and the Flash, like, you know.
Marvel's got their share of Moon Knights as well, but you know,
right.
Come on, guys.
Yeah. But no. So I mean, I'm excited to see what Singer could do. I mean, I understand definitely. Your apprehension.
Oh, good. Definitely, yeah. It can't be worse than the X-Men Origins Wolverine movie.
Speaking of Wolverine, they've said that the Wolverine, which is the next Wolverine movie,
uh-huh.
is actually set post X3, which I think was an interesting detail.
So more WebX kind of stuff going on.
Yeah, well, and I guess he exists in a world where there are... it's supposed to exist in a world where there are less mutants around. And it's post Jean Grey being
even.
Oh God, every time I do that.
It's okay, sorry. You only teach English for a living.
Creative writing.
That's
next semester is the first next semester is the first semester since I started there that I'm not teaching one of the freshman writing classes.
Nice.
I'm doing two creative writing classes and an internship seminar.
Score.
It always gets me when I do the less versus fewer. It's one of the ones that I still mess up every time.
It happens.
Yeah.
Anyway, so fewer mutants then.
Fewer mutants, yeah. Which I'm looking forward to what they do with that one almost as much as I'm looking forward to any of the other things, because I think Hugh Jackman is a great Wolverine, and
yes.
It would be awesome to see a great Wolverine movie.
True. Hugh Jackman was definitely the right call.
Yeah, and he's got the Japanese storylines, even though I never read, if I think back on it, and I actually have moved my comics out of, nobody can see this, I moved my comics out of the closet.
Please keep pointing at them.
And so if I looked through there, I don't think I have many of the Japanese storylines in my collection, but I know that they're good.
Yeah.
And I think it would be fun to see that stuff.
Yeah, it'll be cool. When is that coming out?
That's a good question. That I feel like that's next year, because they're filming now and possibly wrapping filming.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a next year thing.
Speaking of next year, man, did you see the Iron Man 3 trailer that was out recently?
Yeah, the Iron Man The Dark Knight, or yeah. Iron Man Rises.
It's a pretty nutty trailer.
It was pretty awesome, but also dark as all hell.
We know they're not going to kill Pepper Potts, though, and there were like 8 moments in that trailer where we're like, oh no, she got killed. Like,
yeah.
Guys,
yeah.
No. I seriously doubt they're going to turn her into Rescue, but we're not going to kill her either, you know?
Yeah. It's, I like the choice of Mandarin, Ben Kingsley, right?
Yeah.
That's very good. The other dude, why we always need a sort of second, like, executive type villain in these movies is a
just
little
to like remind us that he's human and that he has human challenges. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. But I'm interested to see how they do this sort of organic armor thing, which I guess is part of.
It's nanites, I guess.
And I've read that it doesn't work quite right at first. And also that I like the description in that they talk about that it's conscious of what happened to the Avengers without being directly tied to the Avengers. So like he talks about New York and things since New York, and you don't really have to say anything about it, maybe except in the way that Iron Man 2 gave you some flashbacks about what was going on. And then like once the credits are done, you know, cool. Avengers happened, and now we're in an Iron Man movie.
Yeah,
I think that'll be fun to see. And then are we getting Thor? Yeah, we're getting Thor next year as well.
Yep.
And I feel like something description wise has come up for that.
There's a lot with dark elves. There's a lot with underworld and stuff. So
yeah,
I'm sure. Yeah, I haven't read too much about it.
And I guess Jane is going to be involved and go to Asgard with him or to some of the other realms somehow.
People make weird intrigue out of everything. Like there were some geeks that I was reading and, you know, I guess Natalie Portman was friends with the woman who was going to direct Thor and now that woman isn't and some other guy's doing it. And this geek site was like, yeah, well now Natalie's trying to get out of her contract and she, you know, is really like, causing trouble for everyone. And then you get to the source of that and it's like one line in an interview where she's like, well, it's really disappointing because we're friends, but
yeah.
Like people on the internet need to calm down. Like the internet version of a slow news day is so much worse than like your local news.
Right. News day. It is. And that's why every once in a while I have really pared down the blogs that I follow, but every once in a while I just think about, I don't know what to do because there are some days that I go and I compulsively check my Flipboard, but I just like, this is stupid. Like every news story on here from whether it's a tech news site or from Slash Film or something, it's just dumb. And that's why I have a few either personal blogs or literature blogs where it's not about timeliness as much.
Right.
Just to keep me sane.
I think a healthy mix is important. And I mean, I still follow a lot of sites that I'm like, oh, hello, Jesus.
Yeah.
Largely because I think like occasionally it's good to at least have topics presented to me that I can then go and look up in a more sensible format because, you know, sitting in my room, how am I going to like come across random stuff? But, but yeah, good lord. Internet, calm down.
Yeah.
That's my advice to you. Just calm down.
Yeah. It would be good if they would. And,
you know, stupid sites like Geekforce 5 and there's like, oh look, it's some other person in a, you know, dog costume dressed like a superhero.
Yeah, that site blew, man. Yeah. I'm glad that guy shut it down.
Yeah, yuck. Anyway, so yeah, no, it's an interesting year coming up for superhero movies, not to mention more Hobbit movies. So
right, yeah, that's I mean
6 weeks, man.
Is it really?
6 weeks from now.
Not that you're counting. Is there another trailer yet to come, or do you feel like we've got the
I think got probably final some trail. Different TV spots. I bet they'll start showing up like around Thanksgiving, but yeah, my feeling is we've probably seen the trailers we're going to see.
Yeah.
You never know.
Maybe we'll start seeing featurettes. It's been a while since I checked his Facebook page. I should go look over there.
I haven't seen one in a while, and he did be some during post-production. So, there could be another one by now. They were really great. If people out there haven't checked out Peter Jackson's video blogs from the making of Hobbit, you really should, because they're awesome. Like, seeing... If you liked the special editions and you liked all the extras on the special editions, I mean, they're very much like watching so lots of behind-the-scenes stuff, lots of people making stuff. It's very cool. So
yeah, the more I think about it, I'm like, man, it would be awesome to get him on a Star Wars movie.
Can you imagine the level of detail that went into the rings going into Star Wars?
Because it would be so much less CG and so much more practical. Like, we would see amazing starships and we would see amazing planets that looked sort of like ours, but it would be very cool. Fantastic.
Maybe in another lifetime. And then the other thing, of course, the announcement was that, you know, it won't be just seven, you know, of course, as we said, you know, there'll be eight and nine. So,
yeah.
So there's a chance next time around.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you got together a dream team of people, you won't necessarily get one guy who's going to direct all three.
Yeah.
But maybe you'll get, you know, a dream lineup there. Would be interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, that's movies.
Yeah.
So it's November, and I saw on Facebook you said that the NaNoWriMo people, the National Novel Writing Month people, are all idiots.
Did I say that?
Yeah, your basic opinion seemed to be, yeah, big deal, you can write a draft of a novel. And I thought, wow, that's harsh. Have you told your student that? Like, they suck until they've done it 100 times.
You know, I was writing a blog. I had put on my calendar to write a blog post either yesterday or today. I didn't do it yesterday, and I was thinking about it this morning. I was like, you know, I'm going to write that, like, venomous post about what I think about NaNoWriMo, and I went in a different direction.
I don't understand. Why the hate, man? Like, I know people who have done it, and they seem like decent people.
I just think there's some practical reasons that it's a bad thing. One of them being that lots of people get done with NaNoWriMo and think that, okay, now I'm done, I can send this to an agent.
But just because they make dumb decisions doesn't mean that people shouldn't be encouraged to write.
But I just mean that for people who actually have something that's ready for publication, they are fighting. You just don't even want to bother submitting anything from December through probably, you know, maybe April or May. And then, of course, you don't want to submit anything because they all go on vacation for the summer. So,
well, I don't know. I don't know if that's what's holding people up necessarily, because I think, you know, having an agent, for example, is certainly going to have you cut through that noise pretty quickly. You know, on the other hand, I think it's pretty easy to identify the, you know, really thin novella length thing that appeared in front of you as a product. Yeah. That...
I think more of my objection to it comes from the emphasis on just, it is awesome to finish a draft of something. It's a big accomplishment, but there's no National Novel Revision Month, because it's not sexy, and the work of actually shaping something into something that someone other than yourself would read, I think is the really hard work.
Yeah, but see, I don't know. Maybe I don't know enough people who've done it, but I don't see like NaNoWriMo as the kind of thing that says, no, just work really hard for a month and you have a novel that's finished and ready to go. Like I see it as saying like, setting an arbitrary deadline is a really good way to motivate you to write. And if you've tried writing something this long, it's a way of motivating yourself. And I feel like the people who would have been good at it in the first place are going to reach the end of the month and say, okay, now I have to edit this thing, you know, like, or I got to figure out more about writing, or I need to take some classes or something, you know, I need to get feedback. And the people who suck at it, they suck at it, and that's not hurting anyone, because they're effectively, you know, the same as like fan fiction writers, you know, you wrote an interesting, you know, bit of Harry Potter on Ron action, but you know.
I think the other part of it is the frustrated writer in me who has been working on the same thing for...
How many times have you edited your novel?
I mean, I've been working on it for, and this is kind of what the blog post today ended up being about. You know, I've been working on it for nearly 10 years. Mm-hmm. If almost 15, if you count the plays that birthed the major characters. The other part of the blog post was like, if I given a month to just write, I could be done. I feel like I'm that close to being done one way or the other. And I, of course, I've said that a number of times, and probably at least once on this podcast in the annals of the podcast. But I feel really close to being done. And I think there is a part of me, like in terms of the NaNoWriMo hatred, that's jealous, that would love to just sit down and do something brand new.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, and that's not to say that I don't love what I'm working on. I do love what I'm working on, or else I couldn't still be working on it 10 years later. I would like to get a good solid push, be done with it, and then I guess be writing something silly and stupid with all the jackals that are that are starting today. Last year or the year before, I think I started on one. I was just like, you know what, I'm gonna see if I can do something. And I got a few pages into it, and it was terrible. And
I don't know. I guess I understand that. I see it like more as that, you know, anything that makes writing seem more legitimate or seems better, because I think, despite everything, the popular image of someone who works in writing is very much of, oh, you're too lazy to get a real job. So write, you know, in the way that painters or sculptors or whatever, you know, oh, so you're an asshole, you know. I don't know. I think anything that makes it a little bit more legitimate, or at least increases the awareness of actually how difficult it is, is probably nice overall for everybody. But I understand.
I don't know. I'd be curious to see what, because I feel like I have more friends than ever. Some of them former students, some of them longtime friends who are doing it this year, and I'll be curious to see what they end up with. In the same way that I end up being most years just being curious and watching from the outside during the RPM challenge or something like that. It's interesting to watch. And I guess there is part of me that would love to be able to do it. But I don't know. I would love to see a revision month.
Yeah.
I'd love to see people, not everyone, because not all of the novels that come out of NaNoWriMo are going to be good or worth revising. But those people who did come out with something, to be encouraged to revisit it. Because I think for a lot of them, it ends up in a shelf, whether that's a physical shelf or a digital shelf, and then they never do anything with it.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, only one platform has digital shelves.
That is fair.
They still drive me nuts. I look at my newsstand, and I'm like, why the hell do you look like a newsstand? Mm-hmm. Am I a child?
Yeah.
Just give me an icon, goddammit. I had an icon before, and I was okay with that. I didn't somehow think it was less legitimate. Oh, look, this app has green felt. Great. I can feel it. Sorry.
That's okay.
For a cool app, you know, fine. Angry Birds in Space is not so much requiring of the green felt.
Mm. Yeah. Angry Birds Star Wars is coming out.
Yeah.
To bring things full circle. That was an interesting.
Sorry.
We've talked movies. We've talked elections and hurricanes and
the fact that you hate everyone who aspires to write a novel.
I do.
Actually, the world's best creative writing. That's okay. I hate most people who write essays for me. Maybe that's a bit of a strong word. Loathe.
Loathe is a better word. Loathe has a softer tone to it.
Yeah, yeah. It's got the nice sound in it. I should apologize again. Chris posted this thing on his blog the other day, and it was like a post by someone who was arguing that you should never tell people you're busy, because that means you're a huge jerk or something. And I got the point, like, saying as a reflex, if I understand correctly, the point of it was saying it's a reflex, oh, I'm busy, or I've been busy, doesn't really communicate to the other person the reasons that you chose not to do whatever it was. It's just I was busy, and that's supposed to be a good enough reason. And I get that, you know. But the thing that drove me nuts was she wrote this thing, and she was like, busy is an excuse for being a poor performer, or whatever it was. It was an excuse for poor performance. And
yeah.
You know, it was a way of justifying half-assing stuff, basically. And I was like, no. Just because the person can't cope with things and says, I'm busy, because they don't have a life plan that gave them some other way out, doesn't they're like, oh, if I just tell everyone I'm busy, I can totally sit around all day and eat gummy bears.
She was not as looking back on it. You know, my comment, I think when I posted it to Facebook, was that I should read this frequently. And I did go back and reread it. And I was like, I still agree with some of what's going on here, but probably don't need to read it frequently. What I got out of it was this idea that adding stuff to your day. This is the takeaway for me was that adding stuff to your day to make yourself busy is not productive.
Yeah, and that much I will agree with. Like, some people just have to have the list full and they end up getting nothing done. Yeah. I get that. I've done that.
Yeah, and I feel like I fall into that trap a lot. Just before we started recording, you and I were talking about the last couple of days, for a variety of reasons, because of the storm, because of scheduling, I've had more free time than I usually do.
Yeah.
And I sat down and watched movies. I was exhausted.
Yeah, but it's good for you. Like, you work all the time, you know. Yeah. I know, I get it. Like,
but I felt guilty about watching the movies. That's why I like reading an article like that is helpful to me, because it reminds me that I have a bad habit of making myself be too busy.
And that's totally fair. Like, see, that much I get. It was just the like condescending tone of like, people who say they're busy are subhuman. You know, I'm like, well, hang on. Sometimes people are legitimately busy, and that is actually how to describe things. But yes, no, I get, like, after my PhD started, it was like, I'd have an afternoon where there was nothing I could do. Like, I was either waiting for books or, like, I'd done a bunch of work and I wasn't ready to start the new work. And, yeah, there'd be moments like, wait, I'm just going to watch movies?
Yeah.
I can't just watch movies. I have all this work to do. And, like, my brain couldn't cope with the fact that, no, actually, there's no work to do right now.
Right.
Yeah. And, like, the weird thing is, like, now I have tons of free time. I have too much free time. I'm bored most of the time and kind of depressed. So it's not good.
Right.
But like, the weird part about that is, with the few meager tasks I have to accomplish, like, some of them don't end up getting done because my brain is in this place of like, I'm too busy to focus on this task. Like, no, there's nothing else to do, dude. Just do the thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's weird. Like, that sense of like the necessity of constant activity is I think very dangerous for people. So if you can relax and watch movies, do it, damn it.
Yeah. I just wish I had picked more uplifting movies to watch.
Schindler's List, not the feel-good movie.
I ended up watching movies, two movies based on Andre Dubuque stories, the elder Andre Dubuque, that I had been meaning to watch. One of them, In the Bedroom, I'd watched years and years and years ago, but hadn't seen in a while. And the other one, We Don't Live Here Anymore, I had never seen. And they're both, like, in the way that, like, a short story, a really good, sad short story, you walk out of it almost feeling good, right?
It's reaffirming. Like, there's a depth to humanity.
Yeah, but you watch a really depressing movie.
Yeah.
And sometimes I get that same, like, depth to humanity thing.
I mean, but Empire is everyone's favorite Star Wars. And, like, come on.
All Jedi had was a bunch of Muppets.
Right. Yeah, no, I was feeling kind of down this week, so I changed my Netflix queue. So I watched like Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
There you go.
Comic Book Men, the Kevin Smith, Walt Flanagan series that's on AMC.
Yeah.
Yeah, I purposely went the other way. I was like, this is not a good week for, you know, Schindler's List.
Yeah, I've been wanting to see and have heard that it is mindless, stupid fun. The Rock of Ages movie. Because, you know, stupid 80s music and you know, I don't know.
I didn't know what to think. I saw on Facebook some of the people I know who were going to it, and I was like, yeah, I don't agree with your taste in anything. So
yeah. I'm torn because I feel like it's going to be one of those movies that I will either like once and never watch again, or one of those movies I will have to watch at least once a month because it's so dumb and makes me feel better about myself and better. I don't know. So I'm torn. Like, do I rent it? And I am always torn with this because I rent it once, right? Because it's not on Netflix yet that I know of. And it's going to cost me like $3 to $4. I can buy it for $20 and then watch it as many times as I want. But if I buy it and only watch it once, then I feel stupid.
I think you got to rent it. And then if there's a sale, you might even.
Yeah.
Because there's no guarantee there.
Right. Well, and that's the thing I realized about those two Debuse movies is, like, I'm glad that I picked them up pretty much as pre-owned DVDs someplace else, because I only spent like $4 or $5 on them. I'm probably not going to watch them very often. Yeah. As much as I love Debuse and as much as I love the stories, I think they were both movies that were both very well done. I'm not going to watch those a whole bunch. I'm generally speaking going to rewatch my dumb action adventure movies and my comic book movies a lot more than I'm ever going to turn to a drama.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, and of course I got to keep my my money saved for music releases because there's a few of those coming out that I really want, including one that I never thought I would. I thought I was done with Aerosmith. I thought my Aerosmith thing was done. I took a whole year off from Aerosmith.
I thought Aerosmith was done with Aerosmith.
They were, and now they have subtly infected my brain with some of the songs on this new album that they're coming out with, which comes out next week. And I'm like, oh man, I really like some of them enough that I will probably buy the album, but it's going to cost me like $12-13 unless it goes on sale on Amazon.
You acquired it from the public library and then accidentally copied it.
This is true. Although there is the part of me as an artist that feels like, karma wise, that's going to come back to bite me in the ass if I happen across someone else's art.
Sure, there's a lot of pop bubblegum trash bootlegs out there.
Fair enough.
I prefer to buy music too.
Yeah, there's that coming out, but there is a coming out on November 13th, a new How to Destroy Angels EP. And that I want to have money around for so that I can just buy it the day it comes out. And if I'm not careful and buy stupid things like Rock of Ages, I will.
Well, since you're in Portsmouth a lot, I recommend you purchase it at Bull Moose. Usually as a physical store, they new stuff is about as cheap as it is on Amazon.
Yeah, yeah, Bull Moose is awesome. And whenever I can buy local, I'm going to buy local. The How to Destroy Angels is Trent Reznor's project, for those who don't know, with his wife and with Atticus Ross, who's done all the soundtrack work with him. The fourth member of the band I find really amusing, because the fourth member of the band is Rob Sheridan, who before this has been basically the band photographer and videographer, and yet somehow he's in this band. And I thought, when I saw that he was a member of the band, that they were just sort of incorporating him in that role, that it was kind of more of a multimedia project and like Rob Sheridan is there to do the video stuff. But no, they just came out with a video today and there's Rob Sheridan looking kind of goofy in the way that I think it wasn't always the Cure's keyboard player was kind of goofy.
Depends which one. I think Roger O'Donnell always looked fairly normal compared to the rest of the band. Yeah. But certainly Lol Tolhurst, who was there before, looked a bit ridiculous.
And it's he doesn't look ridiculous. He's just like that. One of these things is not like the other.
Although I will say the Cure kind of looking a little bit weathered, to be honest. I'm looking at you, Boris.
I have not seen a photograph or a video of the Cure in a very long time.
Well, I mean, see, like, I had this major obsession with The Cure, and I love their stuff kind of pre two albums ago. And, I think, sounds really astounding music, but I think in some ways Robert Smith has the same problem that Steven Tyler does, which is that Robert Smith has to write songs about quirky stuff in a quirky, poetic way, and it has to be, unexpected. And Steven Tyler has to write songs about, being Steven Tyler and
about sex and rock and roll, like, in these cliched Steven Tyler.
And with like Van Halen, it's like, how many songs about being awesome can you write before it's like, Jesus Christ? And I think they kind of paint themselves in these corners, you can only have so much. So like for me, like Aerosmith has some awesome classic songs, but you guys have been there,
So here's a question.
Give me something unexpected.
Do you think Trent is going to, speaking of How to Destroy Angels, do you think he's going to end up in the same place? I mean, he's not that much younger than, if he's younger at all, than Robert. He must be younger than Robert, but but he's probably approaching that point at which both of these guys started to seem predictable and still had flashes of brilliance, but
I don't know. I mean, I think when you look at like the way Nine Inch Nails evolved, you know, I think if you look at Year Zero next to like Pretty Hate Machine,
yeah, they're very different.
Huge variation. Or even, you know, the Downward Spiral, I don't know, you know, and the Fragile are fairly different. I mean, yeah, there's definite, you know, sonic variants and thematic variants, and that not every song is about either I hate you or I am miserable, you know.
Right.
Like, I don't know, I think that Trent has more room because he's willing to break his mold.
Yeah,
you know, and I mean, you look at some of the soundtrack stuff and there's, you know, definite like musical similarity, but at the same time,
right. Yeah, I wanted to get the perspective of someone who's not as obsessed with them as I am, because I agree. I think he is more willing to go in different directions, and that'll save him from the same fate.
But I think the telling thing, really, honestly, is think about how they accept awards.
Mm.
Do you remember, did you watch when Trent and Atticus won the Oscar for the soundtrack?
I didn't see it. I looked at some stuff the next day, but I don't,
you know,
think I ever saw it.
They generally seemed really bashful. And I was like, you told me that Nine Inch Nails would be accepting an award at the Oscar.
Right.
You know? Yeah. But you look at Steven Tyler, and anytime he's anywhere, he has to be Steven Tyler, the
right
character. You know, like, I don't watch the stupid music talent shows. I don't.
Yeah.
They're poisonous and moronic, and they're the reason the music industry is as stupid as it is. But
yep,
that's a whole other issue. And I'm sorry if I've just insulted your intelligence, audience. I'm insulting your intelligence. I'm sorry. Please go to a local record store and buy some real music. But anyway, separate issue. But I've seen clips of Steven Tyler on his show and when he was there, and it's just, you're not any different. You're just like, I'm larger than life and I'm edgy. And
right.
Probably not. You're probably a guy who goes home and takes out a frozen bagel and just sports. Like,
yep.
I mean, there's really probably nothing about the songs that you sing that is your real life.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I have more respect for artists that can be people too, I guess.
Yeah. No, I think you're right on there. That's why like the Aerosmith thing is like a curiosity for me at this point.
I hear you. If you follow the band that long, you kind of have to know
it.
Like, I mean, if The Cure come out with a new album, I'm obligated to listen to it, but
right, yeah. Yeah. But are you obligated to buy it in like the days of Spotify? That's the thing. Like,
you can
take a listen to it, decide if it's good, and then buy it.
It's true. And I will. I mean, there were times.
Right.
Hell.
But and that's the thing
Europe,
is,
I ran up to Newbury Comics in the car as fast as I could with a friend to buy, you know, one of the singles from Wild Mood Swings.
Yeah.
Just so I could have it for the trip. Like, that would never happen now.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, like, with Spotify, the reason I feel bad about Spotify is even if they're getting paid like a percentage of a penny, they are getting paid for it. So I will listen to stuff on Spotify first now, especially if they make it available. Now, they don't always make it available, which is the thing, but
that's
there have been,
you know,
but there, yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff that I've been on the fence about over the last few months, especially bands that, like 90s bands, like I used to love No Doubt, and I gave the latest one a listen, and it was okay for a listen, but it was not something I needed to own. And
I feel that like garbage, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There was a garbage record. Yeah. Same deal. The XX, which I loved their first record. And the new one came out and I listened to it and I tried 2-3 times. That's how much I loved their first record. I tried the second one like 2 or 3 times and I just couldn't get it.
Yeah. No, it's rough. I mean, yeah, no, I do. Spotify is where I go to listen to stuff that I probably wouldn't buy or stuff that I can't get, you know?
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen as often.
Yeah. I just, I find I'm using it as a way to decide, like, do I, if I go back to something twice and really enjoy it, then I know it's time to buy it. Like the Lissy album, you turned me on to Lissy through your blog and then through like, especially you posted the,
That's true. I used to have a blog.
You did.
That's true.
When she covered Lionel Richie, Hello, for the Black Cab Sessions. Is it Black Cab?
Yeah.
And anyway, so I had her covered up with the Flowers album, EP of covers. And then all of a sudden one day on Spotify, I'm like, oh yeah, she has other albums. And I found myself returning to the latest one again and again. It's like, all right, time to buy it.
I was actually so relieved to get spam the other day. Like, I saw this link and it said, Lissy does Gangnam Style. And I was like, I got to click on that because I got to know. And then I got there and it was like just some spam webpage. And I'm like, oh, thank God. I'm so relieved.
It's only a matter of time. She's
great at covers, I gotta say.
If anybody could cover that song and make it tolerable, I think Lissy could.
I think that's probably going to be our only mention of that phenomenon on this podcast.
I hope so. I hope to never think about it again.
The only one I saw that I thought was really funny was a Gangnam Style Ghostbusters mashup, and it actually worked pretty well. So that's out there. But holy God. I will say that it's interesting how much controversy it caused because the way Billboard changed the rankings. And so that song has been number one on the hot singles or whatever they call it. And
right.
Artists are like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's it.
It's interesting. It's interesting to see an old, like, you know, thing based on sales and DJ spins, you know,
right.
Incorporating internet results. I think that's a really interesting, but also genuinely reflective thing.
No, I think it's good on them for trying to stay relevant in that way.
Yeah. Even though I think those rankings are about as sensible as the New York Times bestseller. But
right.
Anyway.
Yeah. There used to be a point at which, I went to those as the judgment of like which song I should get next. And that's why I'm really thankful for Spotify, because there were things that I was like, oh yeah, everyone's listening to that. Everyone's talking about it. I'm going to buy it. And I was 30 thinking, seconds of it would be awesome, but the rest of it would be terrible.
I was thinking of your single Loving Pop Haze the other day, and confession to make. I was bored on Spotify. And sometimes when I'm bored, when you go to an artist's page, it like lists other artists that they're like, and sometimes I'll just like, I'll mentally roll a die or just pick a random number, like seven. And I'll have to go through even, you know, like layers to get to a page, and I'll just things. And somehow I ended up on Katy Perry. And I was like, all right, private session. That was the first step. Like, this will not have happened.
Right.
I listened to half of her most recent. And it was weird because after like two songs, I was like, I don't know. It's so bad. And then I kind of stopped and went, what? Well, it's catchy.
Yeah.
You know? And it's fun. And then I was like, oh, Jesus, no. I had to stop. This is how it starts.
It is how it starts.
But I did do it. So
yeah, I feel like she's got.
I hate it.
Do you ever see that really terrible Josie and the Pussycats movie? It came out in like the late 90s, early 2000s. And one of the plot devices in there was that they had something. I can't even remember. Something was tied into the way that records were produced or the way that records were broadcast on the radio that infected people's brains so they would be forced to listen to things. And I feel like Katy Perry, somewhere in there, they have, along with Auto-Tune, they have brought that into...
But, you know, way to go for me for getting with the times 2 years ago. So.
Yeah. You know, we should wrap up. You know, we talked about George Lucas and redemption, Katy Perry and redemption. Okay. I like Katy Perry. She has terrible songs. She has good songs. One of her most terrible songs is also one of her most popular, and it's that Fireworks song. And she went on, the thing that Jon Stewart did, like a weekend or two ago, raising awareness for kids with, autism. And she did this duet with this girl who was not expected to ever be high functioning when she was born or when she was first diagnosed. And it's still a terrible song, but it was awesome. Like in terms of redemption, no auto-tune on her voice. And she let the little girl basically be the star of the show and only came in when it was sort of necessary. At least a decent human being, if not a decent singer.
Sometimes it's interesting when you hear songs by people that you wouldn't normally gravitate towards, and then all of a sudden they're kind of like, whoa. You know, it's like that moment in High Fidelity where they see Lisa Bonet doing Baby, I Love Your Way. You know, mm-hmm. and they're like, wow, this song.
Right.
John Craigie has a new album out, who I like, and I think we've talked about it once or twice. It's all covers. And one of the covers is Four Non Blondes' What's Up.
Oh, really?
Huh. And it's really good. I got like halfway through and I'm like, wow, man. I really like this.
That's crazy. And now you might even be able to go back to, there are certain songs like that that were terrible when they came out because they were so overplayed and this, like the wrong people liked them.
This is the most important song. Yeah.
And then like 5, 10, 15 years later, you're able to go back to them and go, you know what?
It's weird how that happens. I don't think it's ever going to happen with me and Limp Bizkit. I think I'm probably okay there, but yeah, weird, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, check that out. It's on Spotify. So
John Craigie. All right.
Craig with an IE after it.
Mm. Cool.
Anyway, I think we did pretty well this time.
Yeah.
We actually talked about stuff.
We did.
So well done there. Anything we should tell people before we go?
Go out and vote if you're voting for the right person.
Yeah. Only vote if you're no, just vote, goddammit. But don't go to the polls or undecided and you're just gonna randomly tick boxes. You are the monkey wrench that ruins everything.
Mm. Yeah. Go vote. Bring me Reese's peanut butter cups.
Yeah. Good luck with that. You're gonna show up at people's houses on Sunday and they're gonna be like, November, dude.
Yeah. Well, where's my candy? No, it's November.
The 8th, man. The goddamn candy. That was like days ago.
No, but where's my candy?
Yeah, good luck with that. All right, so cool. Hopefully we'll go again this month before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I think that can happen.
Could happen.
Why not?
And all right, so thanks, everybody. See you next time.
See ya.
Destination.